get when I call you.
Hi, this is Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA. And as Cosmo would say, giddy up.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you are tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Yesterday was New York State Nurses Association's lobbying day in Albany, as they're pushing for the New York State Health Care Act to get through the legislature. We'll hear from Dawn Zip, a nurse and president of the Bellevue Women's Center, on the WGXC Morning Show today. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and a local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and radio news about online listening. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network, on air, in air, waves. Controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
Alan DeVoe Bird Club will lead participants on a bird walk through the Art O' My Sculpture and Architecture Park on Saturday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. You might spot a green heron during the walk through 200 acres of hedgerow, woodland, grassland, and pond habitat on the Art O' My grounds in Ghent in Columbia County. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event and many others. You can even add your own event there at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that State Senator Michelle Hinchey, Assemblymember Kevin Cahill, and Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan next week will host a hearing to gather testimony from the people impacted by skyrocketing electric and gas bills. All three hosts have been strong critics of Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation and the utility's billing practices, including rising bills being sent to customers. All comments collected will be handed over to the state for use in its investigation of Central Hudson's customer information system implementation and the resulting billing errors. Quote, "This is an urgent issue for countless residents across Ulster County who have been severely impacted by the failed implementation of Central Hudson's new billing system, which was compounded by unexpected and unprecedented bill surges," unquote, Ryan said in a press release. As of late April 25th, there were more than 3,000 comments posted on the Public Service Commission portal that was set up as part of the Central Hudson billing investigation. At least 11,000 Central Hudson electricity customers have experienced billing problems since September, Ryan said. The hearing will take place May 3rd at Kingston High School. Ulster County residents without computer access or a valid email address who cannot attend the public hearing may call 845-443-8888 for assistance submitting public comments on the investigation. On April 11th, Central Hudson announced electric bills were likely to increase again this month as supply charges to the utility have grown. Central Hudson delivery charges will rise in July as well. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Shanice Holmes Brown reports in the Times Union, two more Albany County COVID-19 deaths. Officials said a man in his 60s died April 22nd and a woman in her 90s died April 26th. Albany County also announced 133 new infections for a total of 589 coronavirus cases there. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "Our infection rate continues to rise at an alarming rate, and we are likely not detecting the full level of community spread as many at-home COVID tests go unreported." Albany County's average percent positive rate has jumped from 3.3% to 13.5% over the last month, end quote. On April 24th, the Capital Region infection rate was 13.5%. There are 31 patients with the virus in Albany County hospitals. McCoy said, and I quote, "Sadly, as the virus spreads more and more, hospitalizations rise and we see more deaths. And my condolences go out to the families who lost loved ones over the last few days," end quote. Also on April 26th, Vice President Kamala Harris tested positive for COVID-19. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Melanie Lakosovic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that vandalism of the public bathrooms at Angela Canna Town Park Inn has prompted the Caro Town Board to close the facilities part-time. During the off-hours, the park's permanent restrooms have been vandalized a number of times, resulting in costly damage. Town Supervisor Jason Watts said the board's April 20th public meeting. Quote, "We went through almost $1,000 worth of stuff," unquote, Watts said. Quote, "Urinals, soap dispensers have been broken. There was feces all over the walls. We had cones stuffed in the toilet, rolls of toilet paper stuffed into them. It's every time we turn around," unquote, the supervisor said. Because the vandalism occurred inside the restrooms, it was not recorded on surveillance cameras. No arrests have been made. Watts proposed that after the bathrooms have been pressure washed, they be closed overnight going forward, but open during the day when the park is in use or when public events are happening. The board unanimously agreed to rent a porta-potty at the cost of roughly $2,500 for year-round use. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Rick Carlin reported in the Times Union that from June 1st to December 31st, the state of New York is giving up its share of the 16-cent per gallon gas sales tax to consumers. Local counties have the option to give consumers their share during the same time period, but so far Ulster County is the only one giving up their tax revenue. As of April 25th, gas prices in the Capital Region, according to the Gas Buddy website, were above $4 per gallon for regular, ranging between $4.13 to $4.29. Some county officials don't want to give up the revenue the gas tax brings them. Rich Christ, spokesperson for Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin, said in an email that, and I quote, "There have been some discussions with county and local officials about the gas tax issue, but there is a concern over whether residents would actually see a drop in the price at the pumps and if funds would be taken from needed services and efforts to keep property taxes stable," end quote. Green, Columbia, and Albany County officials have also not taken any action to give their share of the gas tax back to consumers. Albany County officials say they are trying to figure out whether the tax can be cut through a resolution or if they have to pass a local law. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that former Catskill Savings Bank official, charity organizer, and community leader Roger Lane died last week at the age of 73. Lane was employed by the Catskill Savings Bank for 35 years and was the human resources director when he retired. He then went on to work for the Catskill Central School District as a substitute teacher for the next 20 years. Born in 1948, Lane was a member of numerous local organizations, including 30 years with the Catskill Rotary Club. Quote, Roger was a dedicated public servant to the people of Greene County, unquote, Greene County legislator Matt Levera said. Quote, he will surely be missed by so many. My prayers to his family, unquote. Greene County legislator Linda Overball said she knew Lane since childhood. She said Lane was a cherished member of the Catskill community. Quote, he was just a great person and a great friend, unquote, she said. Among his many activities and initiatives, Lane hosted a radiothon on WCKL-AM in the 1980s and 1990s during the National Heart Month to benefit the National Heart Association. He also served as president of the Catskill Village Board of Trustees in the 1970s and was a member of the Catskill United Methodist Church for more than four decades. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Larry Parnas reports for the Berkshire Eagle that train service between Pittsville, Massachusetts, and New York City begins July 8th. So far, that service is just a Friday afternoon four-hour trip from Penn Station in Manhattan to Pittsville and a return Sunday afternoon. State Senator Adam Hines, a Democrat from Pittsville, said, and I quote, "This has been years in the making," end quote. Massachusetts officials are providing $240,000 to underwrite operations, a $30,000 fee for a program director, and $100,000 for marketing. Governor Charlie Baker said in a statement provided by the State Department of Transportation, and I quote, "Western Massachusetts and the Berkshire region offer a whole host of cultural and recreational opportunities during the summer, and we hope this pilot service will encourage even more visitors to this part of the state," end quote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, there will be a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 50 degrees. It will be partly cloudy Wednesday night with a temperature low of around 32 degrees. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 49 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of around 33. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, April 27th, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. Maria Manhattan brings you the Hudson Cafe with all sorts of songs from the American Songbook. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Survivor Show with Talk About Radio Talk. WGXC's Hudson Valley Congressional Report is at 4 p.m. on the WGXC Afternoon Show live from ACRA. Then at 7 p.m., we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook Show from the 2600 Hacker Quarterly crew on simulcast on WBAI and on WGXC 90.7 FM. Till 8 p.m. when there's a Calypso Invasion on Music for the Masses. And then on In My Room Radio at 10 p.m., hear tracks from Aiko Ishibashi, African Head Charge, and Orem Mbarchi on 90.7 WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now.
go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
MV Carbon and Zach Layton perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Friday, May 6th. WGXC will have a live web stream if you can't make it in person. MV Carbon's work focuses on sonic feedback, sound spatialization, sound morphology, and the transformative and deconstructive interrelationship between sound, image, space, and place. She is performing with Zach Layton, who will open the show. He's a guitarist, composer, curator, and teacher based in Brooklyn and Troy, New York. Tune in or turn out for MV Carbon and Zach Layton, Friday, May 6th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 9 to 11 p.m. The first hour will be broadcast live on 90.7 FM, and both hours will have a web stream at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, April 27th. Early morning temperatures are just a little spooky. 34 degrees in Halcott Center to a much more comfortable 44 in Kingston. Soil temperature is at 48 degrees, several inches from the surface. Sunshine will increase through the day, even though chances for rain pop up between noon and 7 p.m. A high of 51 is expected at 3 p.m. After dark, windy conditions roll in as temperatures drop to 35 degrees overnight. Good idea to bring the plants inside. Tomorrow will be dry and windy with a high of 52. Expect some branches to come down. 34 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Friday with a high of 56 and a windy afternoon. Saturday is looking nice. Winds calm down and a high of 60 is expected. Pollen levels for today will be high and likely to get worse as winds start blowing it around in the coming days. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:15 a.m., then low tide at 7:41 a.m., high tide again at 1:33 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:03 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 50 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:34 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:53 a.m. Looking way up, we see the plasma stream we are due to collide with comes with a co-rotating interaction region, likely to boost geomagnetic storm activity on Friday. Solar wind speed is currently 430 kilometers per second at 7.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 126. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd for conversations with Cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world right here at Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Justin of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
All day Saturday, April 30th, WGXC will broadcast the ninth edition of Reveille from SoundCamp. The Reveille broadcast follows the dawn chorus around the planet, listening to the sounds of dawn at various points around the Earth, starting in London, heading across the Atlantic Ocean, stopping at Wave Farm in the 5 a.m. hour, and then crossing the United States, the Pacific Ocean, Asia, Africa, and Europe, and heading back to London at 1 a.m. on Sunday, May 1st. Tune in all 25 hours of the Reveille broadcast from midnight Saturday, April 30th to 1 a.m. on Sunday, May 1st on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio at wavefarm.org.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite's gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. You've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. It for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love.
This is Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the Wave Farm Daily Radio News. Susan Ashworth reports for Radio World that a new study by Nielsen shows many people listening to AM or FM stations in the United States are tuning in web streams rather than terrestrial signals. Streaming now represents 12% of total AM/FM radio listening of individuals aged 25 to 54. up from 9.2% in August 2021. In the pre-internet age, only people who lived near a radio station could listen, but now anyone in the world can hear a streaming station. But the Nielsen report showed that the majority of the AM/FM radio streaming audience resides in the home market. Quote, marketers can purchase time on AM/FM radio station streams knowing most of the audience is from that home market, unquote, said Pierre Bouvard, the chief insights officer at Cumulus Media at Westwood One. At 83%, sports radio had the lowest percentage of streaming listeners who lived away from the station's tower site, perhaps as fans of the local team who now live elsewhere. Radio listeners in the northeastern United States are more likely to listen to their hometown stations online than Western residents, the survey also showed. This has been Tom Rowe with the Wave Farm Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information and other stories about radio.
We've got something.
Ooh.
Now, a new sound. Very melodic. A good, solid sound. The music, the instruments, the voices, and it's ready to go. Now, play it. Not bad. Different. Let's continue with the development. And to further enhance the sound, we'll add 10 notes to make it rich, memorable, a bigger, more important sound. And it's ready to go. Ready, go.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Had Ukraine been in NATO, as you've advocated for and many others have advocated for, we would now have troops in Ukraine.
At a congressional hearing, Republican Senator Rand Paul suggested the Biden administration is responsible for the Russian invasion of Ukraine because it supported Ukraine's wishes to join NATO. Secretary of State Antony Blinken pushed back, arguing the conflict happened because Russia doesn't want Ukraine to remain sovereign.
One country can't dictate to another the choices it makes about with whom it allies, its foreign policies, its decision or not to try to engage with the European Union, with NATO.
President Joe Biden pardoned three people, including Abraham Bolden, the former Secret Service agent who became the first African-American to serve on a presidential detail. He was charged with attempting to sell a secret file, but always maintained his innocence. In his first presidential acts of clemency, Biden also commuted the sentences of 75 people. The White House says Vice President Kamala Harris, who tested positive for COVID, has not been in close contact with Biden. And new White House COVID-19 response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha notes the U.S. is at an inflection point in the pandemic.
We have a lot more capabilities, a lot more tools to protect the American people. Testing, vaccines, therapeutics.
Despite a recent rise in infections, both hospitalizations and deaths are down. Economists with Deutsche Bank are predicting a major recession by next year, suggesting that in order to quell inflation, the Federal Reserve will raise rates so aggressively it will hurt the economy. On Tuesday, the Dow Jones fell 800 points. A U.S. Senate committee began debate on two bills to help smaller cattle producers by increasing federal oversight of large meat packers.
The big guys are muscling out the newer, smaller meat processors who simply can't compete, which leaves both farmers and families in a very difficult situation.
That's Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, who cited consolidation and lack of competition for vulnerabilities in the food supply chain. North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn was cited for bringing a loaded handgun through a TSA checkpoint in Charlotte. It's the second time in a year that the Republican has been stopped by airport officials while carrying a gun. The House January 6th committee is reviewing House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's leaked phone calls from days after the attack, where he expresses concerns that former President Donald Trump would seek a pardon.
I do not want to get into any conversation about Pence pardoning again. I mean, the only discussion I would have with him is that I think this will pass, and it would be my recommendation we should resign.
Talks of a pardon could suggest that Trump had obstructed justice in some way. Most Republicans called the tapes a distraction. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
All day Saturday, April 30th, WGXC will broadcast the ninth edition of Reveille from SoundCamp. The Reveille broadcast follows the dawn chorus around the planet, listening to the sounds of dawn at various points around the Earth, starting in London, heading across the Atlantic Ocean, stopping at Wave Farm in the 5 a.m. hour, and then crossing the United States, the Pacific Ocean, Asia, Africa, and Europe, and heading back to London at 1 a.m. on Sunday, May 1st. Tune in all 25 hours of the Reveille broadcast from midnight Saturday, April 30th to 1 a.m. on Sunday, May 1st on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio at wavefarm.org.
like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Military Roman Labor Correspondent. I'm here at the Empire State Plaza where they're having a lobby day, and it's the New York State Nurses Association calling for universal health care now. And I have as my guest Don Zip, who is a registered nurse. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing very well this morning.
And Don, just tell just a little bit about you.
Sure. So I am a full-time registered nurse at Bellevue Women's Center. I work in the NICU. I am the president of our bargaining unit. And I'm very excited to be here once again. I believe this is my 7th year coming to Lobby Day.
And how long have you been a registered nurse?
8 years. This is a second career for me, and I just absolutely love it. I love to take care of my babies.
Oh, okay. And Don, you're here today for the lobby day. It's a lot of people here. So what is the issue for lobby day this year?
Well, the lobby day issues that we're going to be contending with is coming to our legislators to discuss our safe staffing legislation that was passed last year, and implementing that and continuing that course. We're also going to be working about towards stabilizing our nursing force and keeping them in the jobs and actually bringing new ones in. That's a really big problem that we're seeing today. The other thing we're going to be working towards is protecting our nursing practice standards. That way we are always in a safe environment, especially in lieu of all the things that we've seen recently in the news. Nursing practice needs to be protected. And of course, we are always standing for health care for all and having it done now for New York State without question.
And done. What are some of the issues around the safe staffing? What have been some of the issues?
So some of our issues is you're basically looking at patient-to-nurse ratios. One nurse taking care of 10 to 12 patients on a high-acuity floor does not produce great outcomes. It's putting that nurse at risk, it's putting that patient at risk, and therefore quality of care diminishes greatly. You see readmissions into the hospital. You see actually patient deaths because of a lack of staffing issue. So we're really fighting hard to make sure that we have the things that we need to do the job well.
And Don, why is it important that everybody get universal health care? Because that's universal health care now.
Yes, universal health care now is so important because we have different groups of people who are underserved. They're not only underserved, but there are groups that don't have any kind of health care. So they are now experiencing the burden of these bills that come in. But then the hospitals also experience the burden of not being reimbursed for those patients who are coming in to be seen. You have people who are sicker than they have to be because they don't have health care, whether they have diabetes or heart conditions. They're not inclined to take care of themselves as well and going to the doctor to be preventative, and they're coming in with acute situations where they're in crisis. And that really puts a burden on everybody.
Well, you know, over the past 2 years, COVID, has been, you know, what have been some of the problems with that in terms of nurses?
COVID is losing nurses. Nurses not wanting to work on the bedside any longer. They're retiring sooner. They are leaving facilities because of the staffing issues, because they are so stressed and burnt out from taking care of patients. Not having the appropriate PPE, you hear a lot of that in the beginning of the pandemic. You know, we need masks, we need gowns, we need protective gear to take care of our patients. It's the COVID situation has really pushed people away from the bedside. They're going to insurance companies. So you're losing bedside nurses. We don't have a shortage of nurses. We have a shortage of bedside nurses. So that is where we are looking to make some changes.
Now, right now, the COVID situation, for maybe a few months, it was kind of quiet, but now it's kind of going up and it comes down.
And unfortunately, you know, we're the ones that when patients are really down and they're in a really critical situation, we're the ones taking care of them, and they can't have family members present with them. So we don't only become their healthcare provider, where their support emotionally, their spiritual support. We are the hand that they hold. The only person they're in contact with over a course of a 12-hour shift is one or two people, maybe, and you're not even spending bedside time with that patient anymore. It's very, very, it's very taxing emotionally, mentally as well.
Yeah. And one of the things that people kind of get in trouble with is right now, even before the COVID, was the medical debt.
Yes.
And your bill is calling for an end to medical debt. How would that work out?
That is basically taking all of our resources that we use, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, insurance companies, and you're putting everything into the same pot, per se. So that way, you're actually able to disperse finances to all of the facilities for all of the patients and equalizing. So that way, everybody has access to care and without all the heavy debt that goes along with it. We are already paying into the system, but yet we are not seeing the benefits of doing that. So this just kind of solidifies it and brings it up a notch.
And there was an article that came out that soon all the COVID, the safety nets around COVID will end.
Right.
And that will kind of push things
back into, yes, people are in the potential of losing a home.
Right.
I personally was in a situation where I lost a home due to medical expenses because my husband had a kidney stone, of all things. We didn't have medical insurance at the time. He went without care and eventually had to have surgery. And this was after months of going back and forth, and we ended up losing a house because of it. So we didn't have insurance. I was working full-time. He was working full-time, but these things were not available to us. So this would correct that situation.
Now, how do it look for the Assembly and the Senate to pass this? Is this something you've been working on for a while?
So the Safe Staffing Bill first and foremost has already been passed.
Okay.
We're going to continue to revise it. The Universal Health Care Act has not actually been passed. It is something that every year we are coming back and discussing with our legislators, really pushing and to understand the dynamic of what this means for New York State and eventually for the country itself. So we're really working very hard to push through it. You know, consistency, consistency, consistency. The voice will be heard eventually, and we are going to continue to cry it out.
And why don't you tell us something about the union, though? Because, I mean, you're in the union.
Yes.
And I'm sure that gives you a little more support in terms of things.
The union has really it's given me an opportunity to open my eyes to how legislation happens. I'm an older person. I'm in my mid-50s. And I never really understood how does a law come into existence. Now that I'm in the union and I'm coming to lobby days and I'm being educated in how the process happens, it is just mind-blowing to see how much we need to be engaged as a community. And the union has given us that outlet to unify us as a group of nurses to be able to speak to the issues that don't just affect us but affect our communities and our patients.
Right. So now, how is the union set up? Is it statewide or is it international?
No, this is actually New York State Nurses Association. So we are a New York State Nursing Union, and it is actually run by nurses for the nurses, for the people of New York State.
And you have branches in all the major cities?
Within New York State, we have different hospitals are represented. We have we do have regional leaders, and then we do have a board, and we have a president. Each region has leadership.
Mm-hmm. Now, this interview is going to go out to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what could the community do to support y'all?
You know, when they see us standing out in front of a facility And we're standing up for whether it is for safe staffing, if we're standing for equality of care, and we're saying there's no racism, we're going to take care of a patient no matter who they are, what their position is being involved, reaching out, honking that horn in support of those nurses, speaking to your specific assembly members, your congressmen, your senators that are specific to your communities, making phone calls to knowing who your community leader is and speaking to them, making a phone call saying, this is what we're standing for. Please get behind this. Stand up for this. When you start as a community coming together and speaking to the leaders that you put into those positions, that's when you're going to see some change.
Okay. Now, if someone wants to get more information about the New York State Nurse Association and your issue, do you have a website?
Yep, you can go to NYSNA. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is Google NYSNA, and it'll come right on up. It's New York State Nurses Association, yep, NY, New York State, S, Nurses, N-A, Association.
Okay. All right. Don, that's Don Zip.
Don Zip, yep.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And, you gave me a lot of information, and I'm sure the community will take this information and they will, you know, go out and support you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Our patients, our communities deserve to be cared for well,
right.
And that is our goal. So thank you.
Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm
That was Carl Stone with the song Auburn from his 2020 release Stolen Car.
Thank you.
From Autechra's 2020 album Sign, that was S-I-O-O.